Amen. We're going to share tonight from the book of Acts, chapter 3. And this is a very well-known account, an event in the life of Peter and John and the early church. The lame man who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple. You know, in Acts 3, verse 1 says this, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." You know, and then it goes on in the scriptures that everybody was gathered around looking at him, really wondering what happened to this man. You know, they'd seen him every day sitting begging for money at the temple gate. And here he was in the temple, walking, leaping, giving praise to God. You know, Peter began to tell them, he says, look, he says, "Men of Israel," this is verse 12, he says, "Why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or our godliness we'd made this man walk?" You know, I can just imagine all the eyes in that area, you know, just focused on Peter and John. And, you know, what have you done to this man? And Peter says, look, it's not us. It's not our power. It's not our godliness. It's not our righteousness. Nothing to do with us. It's not our good works. Now, it was Peter that lifted him to his feet out in the street. It was Peter that said to him, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." But it was Jesus that did the healing. It was nothing to do with Peter. And he says, look, he says, it's not us. He says, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. And then he tells them, and doesn't mince his words, he says, look, he says, but you delivered him up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. You know, and when Pilate was determined to let him go and release him, he says, you begged, you cheered, you chanted, you asked for Barabbas to be released to you, the murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, and we are witnesses of that. And then he says this in verse 16, he says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So he said, it's got nothing to do with us. You know, we're just vessels. We're just open to allow God to work through us. But he says, this is it's through faith in the name of Jesus that's made this man strong. You know, the one whom God has glorified. You know, and then Peter carries on with his sermon, and he says, look, he says, what you've got to do, he says, you've got to repent This is verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, I just want to focus tonight, not so much on the miracle that took place, and what Peter and John did, but I want to focus on that verse 19. You know, Peter preaches as part of his message to that crowd in the temple. He says, what they've got to do is repent and be converted. And Peter says two things will happen to them. If they turn to God, they turn back to God, he says their sins will be forgiven. Their sins will be blotted out. And secondly, times of refreshing will come from God's presence. You've got to turn your life around and turn to God. That was his challenge to those people. He says, look, he says, it was faith in the name of Jesus that's made this man strong. It's not me, it's Jesus whom you crucified, who was crucified, but who God raised from the dead. And it's faith in him that's made this man strong, and faith that's given him this perfect soundness. So he says, turn back to God, or turn to God, repent, or turn your life around and come to God. Repent, therefore. He says, your sins will be forgiven. You know, it's interesting that Peter could say this with all the conviction he's got. You know, if you come back to God, your sins will be forgiven. He doesn't ask God if that's what he will do. You know, the scripture says we've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved and to have eternal life. But here Peter says, if you just repent, just turn your life around. That's what repentance is. It's turning around and going in the opposite direction to what you were going. Now Peter accused these men in the temple of crucifying Jesus. Peter categorically said, look, he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, the God whom we worshipped, glorified Jesus. But you've crucified him. You've nailed him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead. And we're witnesses of this. So he says, turn back to God. Come back to God. Turn your life around so your sins may be blotted out. And so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, the pastor preached last week on the coming to Elim, if you remember. You know, coming to that place of refreshing, the place where there's springs of living water. And here Peter says, look, if we repent and be converted, our sins will be blotted out and times of refreshing will come. I believe what's being said here is, you know, he's saying, look, he says, it wasn't our power, it wasn't anything that I did that made this man walk. He said, it was faith in Jesus that made him walk. He says, and if you turn your life around to God and repent of your sin, your sins will be forgiven. And the same thing can happen in your life. Times of refreshing will come. Because the word refreshing here means really what it says, to refresh or to recover from the effects of the heat. Now it's been quite a warm week this week, and you know, we've been out in the heat. And when I've got back, I've been desperate for a drink. And I've had whatever I've had. One day I had a Coke, another day it was just a glass of water and, you know, a fruit juice. But just to be refreshed by that drink, you know, recovery took place from the effects of the heat. I was dry, I was hot, I'd cooled down and recovered. The word also means, this time to refresh, it also means to revive or bring back to life. So the times of revival and times of refreshing and recovery may come from God's presence. See, that's what that man had encountered. He'd encountered a time of refreshing. God had quickened him in his legs. He couldn't walk. He was unable to walk. As he was obedient to what Peter said, and Peter told him to rise up and walk. And Peter lifted him to his feet and he began to walk. You know, the refreshing of God entered his body. That recovery. You know, we have all sorts of heat. You know, we've got on our windowsill, you know, we do a lot of Italian style dishes. And we've got on, we normally keep on the windowsill in the kitchen one of these growing herbs, the basil and things like that we put into the pasta and we put into the tomatoes. And you know, very often I've come down after a few days and, you know, that basil started to wilt and hang over the edge of the thing. I think, oh no, it's on its way out, it's dying, but I quickly run to the tap and put a bit of water on it. You know, within a few hours, that thing is, basil's back, standing upright, and, you know, it's recovered from the effects of drying out, the effects of the heat in the kitchen. You know, just a little bit of water refreshes and causes it to come back to life. You know, when we come to the presence of the Lord, all we need is just a little bit of the refreshing of God, and we're quickened. We come back to life. We're revived. We recover from the effects of the heat. You know, so many people live in and really wilted lives because so many problems they've got. You know, sickness, debt, troubles, and other such problems leave them in such a state that they don't really know what to do, and they despair of their life, and on the point of giving up, and out of desperation, they really try and do anything to find relief and recovery. But thank God there's good news here, that if we turn to God, times of refreshing will come. You know, I was thinking just a little while ago, over the last 30, 40 years, you know, this country wasn't quite as prevalent 40 years ago, but, you know, people have said, we don't want God. Why do we want God? We don't want him. You know, they gradually, bit by bit, push God out of their lives. Pushing God away. What do we want God for? What do we want these things for? They took RE out of school and replaced it with some type of social studies. They don't have assemblies quite like they used to. They don't pray in schools. You know, God is gradually being pushed down. This is really sort of over the last 40 years, it's got worse and worse and worse. Until today, really what we have in the world today is what men and women for 40 years have been wanting. A society without God. And what the problem with that is, they're taking God out of society, but there's no refreshing. There's problems, there's heartaches, there's difficulties, there's struggling. You know, even this week, we may not have been inspired by the Chancellor's budget. In actual fact, I heard, you probably heard it as well, They're actually forecasting now that it's going to take 25 years for us to be where we were a year ago. 25 years, because they borrowed so much money to get themselves out of this so-called problem. You know, basically what they're telling us is that the UK is bankrupt. But God isn't. God isn't bankrupt. Yeah, the country might be. The government might haven't got a clue or no hope. And that's really what the world have been asking for. They say, well, we didn't want this, we didn't want the sickness, we don't want the problems, we don't want all the difficulties, we don't want the debt. But they've been saying for years and years and years, we don't want God. We don't want God. You know, and that's what they did in the Old Testament. They said, we don't want God. You know, we don't want Him. We can make it on our own. You know, the book of Jeremiah, which is written several hundred years before the birth of Jesus, or Jeremiah lived, and in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, God charges His people with two wrongs. And He says this to His prophet. He says, look, He says, my people have committed two evils. One, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've forsaken me, the source of their supply. They've forsaken me, the one who is able to refresh, the fountain of living waters. He says, but secondly, he says, they've cut themselves their own cisterns, or they've hewn themselves cisterns. He says, they've said, well, we're going to go it alone, we're going to go it our way, which is basically where we've been going for these last few years. We've turned our back on God, who's the fountain of living waters. We've tried to go it our own way. We've cut our own cistern. But God says those cisterns are broken cisterns and they hold no water at all. There's no refreshment in those cisterns. So here Peter preaches. And he says, look, repent, turn, come back to me. He says, times of refreshing will come. If you come back to me, times of refreshing will come. Times of healing, times of deliverance, times of forgiveness, times of blessing on your finances. You know, I believe it was touched on the other day about the, maybe it wasn't, maybe something else I was listening to, but I was hearing just the other day, and it was talking about the year of Jubilee, and the year of Jubilee being a time of, I don't know what it was, I was preparing a message for Sunday, and you know, the time of Jubilee was a time of refreshment, because debts were wiped out and cancelled. Oh, we need a Jubilee. We need a Jubilee. It was a time of great blessing. You know, slaves went free. Debts were cancelled. Property was restored. Land was blessed. Because they were going God's way. But when they turned their back on God, these things were forgotten. And so debt is prevalent. You know, sickness then, all these things come in. But really, one of the key things here is that God wants us to turn back to Him. We might say, well, I haven't turned my back on God. I love God. I serve God. Well, maybe there are things that we do need to do. We need to check our hearts. The one thing the scripture does say, again, it's an often quoted scripture in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14. It says here, it says, if my people, God says, my people. Doesn't say the world, he says, my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. In other words, what God's saying is, look, he said, my people come back to me, they repent, they humble themselves, they pray and seek my face, they turn from their wicked ways. He says, I'll hear their prayer from heaven, I'll forgive their sin. This is what Peter was preaching, that if they come back to him, then their sins will be forgiven. And God says, I will heal their land. Or in other words, I will send times of refreshing. Times of recovery. Times of healing. Times of deliverance. Times of revival. You know, that's what we need today in today's society more than ever. And we've always needed God, but more than ever we need a time of refreshing. You know, Peter preached. The Old Testament proclaimed it. Peter preached it just these few days after Pentecost. Here in Acts chapter 3. After a great miracle had taken place, one man received a miracle. And Peter says, if you repent or you turn your life around, you come back to God. He says, your sins will be forgiven. And times of refreshing will come upon you as it came upon this man from the presence of the Lord. You know, tonight, no matter how bad things are, they can change. They will get better. Circumstances will have the breath of life breathed into them. But we can't do it on our own. We can't do it our way. We can't work it out and say, well, if I do this, this and this, then maybe God will bless me. No, there's only one way, and that's return to God. Come back to God. Repent, therefore, he says, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, even if we think it's too late and we're beyond hope, I was reminded just earlier on, you know, the vision Ezekiel had of the bones in the valley. You know, those bones were dry and dead and scattered all around. Wasn't an ounce of life in them at all. Until God came on the scene. Until God breathed the breath of life into them. They recovered from the effects of the heat. The dry bones started to put on flesh. They came together, bone to bone. Sinews and tendons and muscles wrapped around them. Flesh clothed them. Then the Bible says they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So repent. Now we often think repentance is just saying sorry to God. Well, yes it is. But repentance really is just turning our life around. Not doing it our way. Which is where a lot of our problems, as I think we said on Tuesday night, a lot of our problems come when we get to I want to do it my way. No, we've got to go God's way. Go God's way, we get God's blessing. Our sins are forgiven and times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. So if you need a refreshing tonight, return to the Lord. Amen. That's all we've got tonight. Let's just pray, shall we? And come. come before the Lord. And I don't know if there's any of us tonight that need a touch from God, or let's each in from our hearts where we are, let's just reach out. You know, put our faith in the one whom God has glorified, Jesus. You know, I said 40 years ago, it wasn't much people weren't so much still saying we don't want God, but a lot of people even that time were. So our grandparents, you know, they went to church, you know, they knew what church going was, and they believed in God. Now these things weren't so prevalent then, but this has been a decline over the last 40, 50 years in society. We've got to come back to God. As a nation, we've got to come back to God. As a people, God's people, we need to repent of our ways. Turn from our ways. And God promises to forgive our sin and to heal our land. Send times of refreshing. Oh, this church needs a time of refreshing. Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to, Lord, send, Lord, those times of refreshing, Lord, that you promised. But Father, Lord, we know, Lord, that was conditional on us, Lord, turning to you. Lord, coming to you, Lord, coming into your presence. Lord, seeking you, Lord, with everything we've got. Lord, not going it our way, not going it alone. But Father, Lord, throwing ourselves upon you, Lord, humbling ourselves, Lord, to come, Lord, to the place where we say, yes, we need you in our lives. Lord, we've gone our own way, Lord, and it's left us dry, left us in need, Lord, left us without. But Father, we're coming to you now, Lord, and we're asking you, Lord, to, Lord, forgive us and to send those refreshing times, Lord, into our lives. Lord, those times of recovery, Lord, that time of blessing. Lord, all we need. Lord, your presence. Lord, we need, Lord, that refreshing. Lord, just as we take a drink of water, Lord, on a hot day, Lord, to quench our thirst. Father, we need you, Lord. We ask you to come and quench, Lord, the thirsting, Lord, of our souls tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.